I'm Jamie Bigger. I'm senior developer with WGBH Interactive.
So you're in heaven today.
It's been a very good day. Very interesting.
What makes you passionate about being a web developer? What aspect of your work really gets you going?
Well, it's interesting. I will preface this question by saying that my answer to this question by saying that there's a lot of overlap between computer programmers and musicians. That there's something about the organization of the brain that really one of the things that I, talking to my developer friends that I certainly feel a kinship with them about is when you solve a problem properly when you're writing a piece of code, there's this feeling of elegance, that of simplicity, of flow, that the pieces just fit together, and it's as if you just kind of completed a musical phrase in the right way. It's just there's a sense of balance and accomplishment and harmony, and that's really the kind of, that's my runner's high of being a web developer. I think there's also some personal stuff I really do. I find a job well done when there's kind of organization out of disorder. That's maybe a slight tangent off the harmony theme, but that's really the main thing, is that the harmony.
Here you are, motivated in a way by the love of what you do. Are you ambitious in any way that might correlate more to the sort of American capitalist model? Do you have dreams of creating a website that changes the model and that will make you rich? I mean, how do you work around this issue of passion but not always financial reward for the quality of what you do? How do you deal with that?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, I've made some choices by working with a public broadcaster that I certainly took a pay cut to work there, and it's a regular choice that I could go pursue higher, more lucrative work elsewhere. But in terms of overall quality of life, it's a larger picture than just kind of how big the paycheck is. It's yes, I could have 60-hour weeks and get paid twice as much, but I'd have less time to myself, I'd have higher stress levels, I would have less job satisfaction, I wouldn't feel so good about the work that I did. Hopefully, for the long term, for public media, for open media, there actually will be some business models, whether that's you give away the media for free, but then you people buy your book, or, again, that's sort of the donation model. But I think just by virtue of it being volunteer or not directly paying for the work that you love, that doesn't necessarily mean that you won't do it, and it certainly isn't going to mean for me that I wouldn't continue to enjoy it.
America, I think, is sort of at a crossroads. We are maturing rapidly, I think, as a country, after a period of perhaps, if I might call it, naivete. And we always think of Europe as a very mature country. And Europe has a very different approach towards the arts, towards making money. Its values are different. Do you see public broadcasting as, in so many words, a European thing?
That's an excellent question. Certainly, in my work, I have talked to a number of people in sort of our counterparts across the sea, and BBC and French television and whatnot. And yeah, there certainly is a kinship there. We feel like we're cut from the same cloth. Certainly it is quite different in Britain, where their funding model is quite clear. I guess there's some upheaval as the BBC is trying to adapt to modern times, people getting unhappy about their television taxes going towards funding things that are complete nonsense to many of them. And our funding here in the U.S. is in much greater jeopardy, at least in the short term. So the business models aren't an exact parallel, but I think in terms of interest of serving the public good and informing the general public and serving a media community need that's not met by commercial outlets, absolutely, there's quite a kinship.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.